I'd like to give you just a Bible study tonight that, I thought of it this way. Every person really, maybe not every person, but if you're like me, there are certain portions of God's Word that I return to often. Might even call them favorites. And like, for instance, in the New Testament, my favorite book is the book of Philippians. It's the book of joy and rejoicing. In the Old Testament, I would say probably my favorite book is the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. A lot of great lessons on life in the book of Joshua. And then in the Psalms, you know, most people, if you ask them, well, what's your favorite psalm? What do you think most people would say? Yeah, the 23rd Psalm. And I think sometimes if you ask people that, it's because they learned it at some point, and that's the only that's really the only one they can think of. But my favorite psalm is Psalm 71. And so I read this often. In fact, last week, in addition to my regular morning devotions, daily devotions, I read through Psalm 71 just about every day. And so I'd like to just to share this with you this evening as my Bible study. There are 5 points I want you to see here, and it's a very encouraging psalm to me. And I don't only read it when I'm going through difficult times. I read it at other times as well, but especially the first verse, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." So let's just have a short word of prayer, and then I want to look at this and see some points here. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You'd bless the Bible study tonight. Speak to our hearts this evening. Draw each of us closer to You. I pray that this Bible study would be a blessing. Lord, it's been a long, hot day, and many people are getting off of work or just drained from the heat. And so help us just for these next few minutes to be attentive and to make application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So David writes this psalm, and really he, as we see read through the psalm, you'll find he's an older man. And I'm not going to say it's near the very end of his life, but it's in those last years of his life. And so a lot, of course, has taken place in David's life. He's a great man of God's experiences, but also a great man of wisdom because God gave him wisdom through all of those experiences. So I often, as I read the Bible, I find just that the Bible oftentimes will outline itself. So I look for key words. And so there are 5 key words in Psalm 71 that make up my 5 points. And if you underline in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline these words as we go through it. But if not, write them down wherever you see fit. So we notice this in verses 1, 2, and 3. "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me." So the first word, and all these words are going to begin with C, is the word confusion. So David went through a lot of different experiences and difficulties in his life. Perhaps the most difficult might have been when his son, Absalom, rebelled against his father. I mean, that has to be very difficult. He loved Absalom. He cared for him because he was his child. And he watched him grow. And then his son decides to try to seize power from his father. And so I'm sure at that moment in David's life, that was a very confusing time. Why is this taking place? But I'm sure if you're like me, you've gone through experiences in life, it seems kind of confusing. And why is this happening? And what's going on? And so I'm often drawn to this particular verse. "I've put my trust in the Lord. Let me never be put to confusion." You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that the Lord is not the author of, what do you think? Confusion. So the Lord is not the author of confusion. Now, there may be times in our own lives where it seems confusing, But we can always trust that God is not confused. Amen? Amen? God has it all under control. God knows what's taking place. God sees the end from the very beginning. We don't. We just have to sometimes just trust Him. And that's what the psalmist said. I put my trust in the Lord, he said. When I'm going through those confusing times, I need to remember that God is not confused. And God doesn't want me to be confused. And so the Lord, He's not the author of that confusion. And so the psalmist here, he asks for the Lord's deliverance. He asks for the Lord to be able to help him to escape. He asks that the Lord would incline His ear unto him and save him or deliver him from that confusion. And the Lord does. He does. We are always to be mindful of that, that the Lord does. The Lord was with David through all of those experiences that that David went through. David, he had to flee the kingdom. He was being chased. Earlier in David's life, he knew what it meant to be chased. He was chased by King Saul. So being chased around by his son Absalom and Absalom's soldiers wasn't new to David. He had been through that before. And you know what I find? I find this, that oftentimes when we're going through a confusing time, we've probably gone through, you know, if you're a little bit older anyhow, you've probably gone through it before. You've probably gone through something in your life that you think back and you just stop and you've got to remember, wait a minute, I've been through times like this before and God has always seen me through them. And so David reminds us of that. But now the second C is in verse 3, the second point. The Bible says, be thou my strong, he's talking of the Lord, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. So in my Bible, I underlined the word confusion in verse 1, and I underlined the word continually in verse number 3. The Lord is continually with us. Amen? He doesn't nap. He's not on vacation. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't have a time out. He's continually with us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 5, this promise was made. Most of you, this is a very familiar verse. So you can help me with it as I say it. The Lord said this, I will never what thee? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He's continually with us. So, the writer of Hebrews went on to say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. He's continually with us. I guess it was Sunday night, B. Atherton was taken to the hospital Sunday afternoon, and she's been in the hospital since Sunday afternoon, and she had a skin infection, and that can be a very frightening thing, not knowing what's going on, not knowing what and how to deal with all of these things. It can not only be confusing, but it can be frightening. And but the Lord was with B, amen? The Lord didn't forsake her. He's continually with her, just like He's continually with you and me. And I love this, these next couple of verses. Look, you see the word my here. It's like the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is whose shepherd? My shepherd. Well, the word my is found here. It really personalizes it. So, for thou art, say these out loud with me, for the end of verse 3. For thou art my rock, and, wow, that was pretty weak. Okay, let's try this again. Are we ready? The end of verse number 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Get down to verse 5, we'll do the same thing. For thou art my hope, O God, O Lord God, thou art, what? My trust, my rock, my fortress, my hope, my trust. So, to be honest with you, I don't have all of those verses memorized, but I do remember when I think of this psalm, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And I remember the psalmist said, He's my rock. He's my trust. He's my hope. He's my fortress. So sometimes we may not have the entire verse memorized, but by remembering those parts, we can be comforted. We can be encouraged by that. He's continually with me. And then look at verse 6. He continues the point here. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, and my praise shall be continually of thee. So the psalmist is saying, wait a minute, if the Lord is continually with me, then my praise needs to be continually upon him. Amen? If the Lord's continually with me, my praise needs to be continually upon him. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake me. And so he goes on in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Then he says this, cast me not off in the time of old age, and forsake me not when my strength faileth. And so here is the third C. So you have the first C is the word confusion. The second C, continually. The third C is cast. Cast me not off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 12, he said this, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know, he said, who have I put my trust in. And I'm persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, think of all the Apostle Paul went through. You think of confusing times. Shipwrecked, jailed, stoned, beaten. Problems within the churches. Problems outside of the churches. And his need to realize that the Lord was continually with him. That the Lord would not cast him off. And the Lord will cast you and won't cast me off. Sometimes, especially in old age, you know, it's a sad thing, but it's the reality of life. In old age, I joke with my mom, you know, she's 87. I said, Mom, you got a full-time job. She laughs about it. I said, she must go to the doctors 2 or 3 times a week. You know, she's always got this. Fortunately, she's got really good health insurance. And but that's like her full-time job. But sometimes when the latter years come and declining health comes, you face all of those things. And what a wonderful thing to know. What a blessing to know that the Lord is with you right through all of it. And I know someone else who is going through something, a serious illness, and probably does not have long to live. But they don't know the Lord. They're afraid to die. They don't have the assurance. They don't have the hope. They don't have. They can't say that God is my rock and my fortress and my hope and my trust. So I know whom I've believed and am persuaded. But it's not only that, but look at verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me. Listen, there are all kinds of enemies in our life. Not just failing health, which can sometimes seem to be an enemy. Sometimes they're the enemies of financial setback. Sometimes it's the enemies of temptation that come our way. Sometimes it's the enemies just of discouragement that may come our way. Oh, I saw a horrible thing this week on Facebook. Someone posted this, but there was a pastor, I'm not even sure where he was from, but he took his own life. A Bible preaching pastor. He took his own life. There was a man I remember years ago, I was shocked. He was a very well-known pastor. In fact, I have some older Sunday school material. He was one of 4 pastors that wrote the book well known throughout the United States amongst independent Baptist pastors and the independent Baptist movements. And one day he got so despondent and discouraged that he took his own life. And just from depression and from perhaps dealing with those types of enemies. The psalmist said, they lay wait for my soul to take counsel together. So it's not, you know, we might think we read this, well, David had his enemies, those that wanted to, like Absalom, who wanted to snatch the kingdom from David, and all those that joined Absalom's ranks. But we face battles all the time. We face difficulties all the time. And we have different types of enemies that come our way. And when they come our way, we're to look to the Lord. The enemies want to bring confusion, but God's not the author of confusion. We have to remind ourselves of that. The enemies want to remind us that God isn't with us, but the psalmist reminds us he's continually with us. The enemies want to remind us that we're just not worthy enough and God has decided to cast us off. But the psalmist reminds us that God has never cast us, will never cast us off. Even when you and I are running from the Lord is still there with us, trying to draw us back to Him. Psalm verse 11, saying, God hath forsaken him, these are the enemies, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, the psalmist said, be not far from me, my God, make haste for my help. So the psalmist says here, yeah, my enemies say God's forsaken me, but I know that that's not true. And sometimes it's just a battle of the mind and a battle of the soul as we go to the scriptures. And again, that's why Psalm 71 it's one of my favorite scriptures. I often just turn to it, or whether it's a confusing time or just to remind myself of these great truths. Verse 13. Then the psalmist says this, or verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. He's saying, look, Lord, I'm looking to you for my help. And then he says this, let them, meaning the enemies, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. And so the fourth C is the words confounded and consumed. You know, the battle is not ours. The battle is God's. Let God, and so David is asking that he doesn't want to be confounded. He doesn't want to be consumed. Let the enemies be confounded. Let them be consumed. Just like that day as a young boy, David faced the giant Goliath. And with a stone and a sling, he took down Goliath. But if you remember what David said, David said this, listen, I was a shepherd boy and the bear came. And I killed the bear. And the lion came, and I killed the lion. And God, he said, will allow me to take down this uncircumcised Philistine as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I was reading this today. Listen to this verse. This, by the way, is when Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. And I believe it was the Ammonites and the Moabites and the people of Seir, I think it is, S-E-I-R, they've surrounded the city, and they laid siege to the city. And Jehoshaphat pleads with God. And he says this, the prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and says, hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude. And I love this part of the verse. For the battle, Jehoshaphat, he says, the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. The battle is always God's. Don't let the battle be yours. Let the battle be God's. David understood that. And he said he wanted enemies to be confounded and consumed. Let God fight the battle for you. Let God take on the adversaries. Bring them before God. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Oh, by the way, verse 14, let me read that again. But I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. So there they are. The city of Jerusalem is under siege. And you know what they were instructed to do before God defeated them? The Israelites were instructed to begin to praise God, begin to worship God, and to sing out unto God and give God the honor and give God the glory. That was the battle strategy. And when it came time for battle, you know what happened? The Ammonites and the Moabites and the people of Seir, they all turned on one another. They fought amongst themselves. And there was a great victory that day. But the point of that was the battle is not ours, but the battle is God's. So when we find ourselves in times of battle, in times of conflict, and these are not easy, it's not easy to do this, but we're supposed to praise God. We're supposed to just lift up our voices and sing out unto the Lord and let the Lord fight the battle. Look at verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Our strength to the Lord will be tied in with our praise and worship of the Lord. You know, one of the reasons that we have a worship service, we call Sunday morning our worship service, it's a time for us to come and worship the Lord. It's a time for us to be strengthened in the things of God. It's a time for us to be drawn closer to the Lord. It's a time for God to speak to our hearts and to give us the strength as we enter into a new week. Verse 17, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. So here's David. He's an old man now. And from the time he was a young boy, God just brought him up in the faith. And his faith, year after year after year, grew. And he grew closer to the Lord. Verse 18, Now also when I am old and gray-headed. Well, I've reached that point in my life. I am now become gray-headed. And, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David, because he was gray-headed, wasn't just going to call it quits. He said, I'm just going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to serve you with all that I have. You know, as we go through life, we get older, things change. Maybe the things that God's called us to do change. But God doesn't stop calling us to do something for Him. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, God wants to use us. He goes on and he says in verse 19, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. And by the way, I really feel this. The longer that you're a Christian, the higher you realize God's righteousness is. The more holy that you realize He is. And the more merciful you realize that He is. And the more gracious you realize that He is. Not because so much you look around at everything going on, but for me personally, it's because I look in the mirror and I see who I am and who I've been and who God is and what God has done for me. Verse 20, Thou which has showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. God brings troubles our way. It's just a fact. He allows them into our lives. But if troubles never came our way, when would we ever trust God? It's during those times of troubles that we trust Him. And I think sometimes we probably all think this way, well, oh, I wish God just wouldn't bring me any more troubles. But God brings them, these troubles, but they keep us close to the Lord. And God just brings life into us when we go to Him with our troubles. Verse 21, Thou shalt increase my greatness, and here's the last C, and comfort me on every side. So the five C's, verse 1 was confusion. It's not the author of confusion. He's continually with me. Says that a number of times in the scriptures here. In fact, three times, I believe, he uses the word continually. And he's continually my rock, my hope, my trust. He's never going to cast me off. not going to cast me off. I may wander away and do my own thing, but he doesn't cast me off. He tries to draw me back. I'm going to have enemies. Don't let my enemies, Lord, confound me and consume me. Lord, you confound them and you consume them. And then he comforts me. He comforts me, verse 21. And he says, because he comforts me, I will praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. You know, in Romans 15:4, the Bible says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that the Bible says, we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So why is this particular chapter so dear to me? Because it was written about a man, David, and his relationship with the Lord. But David was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And when these words were penned, these words weren't just written for David, but these words were written for you and for me. These words were written to comfort us. These words were written to encourage us and to keep us close to the Lord. These words were written in the experiences of all of these men and all of these women in the Bible. These words were written to comfort us when we're going through situations that may be similar or may not be similar. But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. We all go through the same experiences that other people have gone through. You're not going to go through some experience per se. It might be personalized to you, but you and I, we're not going to go through some experience that somebody, somewhere, at some time, hasn't also gone through. And there are testimonies and testimonies and testimonies down through the ages of men and women, just like you and me, that have gone through difficult times, but God comforted them. And the Scriptures comfort us. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. So it seems apparent here that David, he's still going through difficulties. He still has people who are trying to hurt him and do him wrong. And the battle for you and I, it doesn't end until we get to heaven. There will always be challenges. There will always be problems. There will always be difficulties. But as our faith grows and we're drawn closer to the Lord, the more, we understand the graciousness and the mercy and the majesty of the one true living God. So that's Psalm 71. It's my favorite psalm. And you should have some favorite portions of Scripture that you can turn to in some of the most difficult times, perhaps. Dark times. This would be one for me. This would be a psalm I would immediately go to and have gone to it on many, many occasions. And I don't mean to be morbid but when I say this and finish with this, but when I die, whenever that might be, that might sound morbid. but when I die, this would be I don't know how many funerals I've done, how many funerals I've preached, and you ask, well, would you like some Scripture? And automatically, yeah, we'd like the 23rd Psalm. I say, okay, we'll read the 23rd Psalm. But for me, Psalm 71, this has been my life's psalm. And praise the Lord. So write that down, Shelley. When I die, read the 71st Psalm. Got it. All right. There we go. I'm not expecting you to die soon, but who knows? Yeah. That's our Bible study for tonight. So I'll have a short word of prayer and then go ahead and lift up these prayer requests. And then afterwards, I don't know if Ethan said this, but afterwards we need as many as you that can. The new carpeting's being put in Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So they're ripping up the carpeting downstairs tomorrow. So afterwards we need everything that's in the fellowship room put in the back room. Well, I called and said, Charlie's on vacation, so could you please not do it till he gets back from vacation? So, no, the carpeting came in 1 week late. And then I had to go to Pensacola, and I didn't want to be gone when they did all of that. So I could have done that too. I said, I'll just have him do it while I'm gone. I don't want to. No, it won't take long. There's not that much stuff in that room. So, anyhow, let's have a short word of prayer and then go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go downstairs at 7:30 and we'll clean out that room down there. Lord, thank you for the 71st Psalm. Thank you for what a comfort they are to our hearts. Bless now our prayer time. Thank you for the privilege that you give us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.